This show is brought to you by the Maids Network. Want to get serious in your cleaning game? Join my group. It's one of the larger Facebook groups just for cleaning business owners. I look forward to seeing you there.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Cleaning Business Life. We are on episode number 56, if you can believe it. Oh, my God. It's just awesome. And I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Miss Kimberly Gonzalez. Kimberly, take it away.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. I can't believe, Shannon, it's been a year. We've been doing a podcast for a year.
Right.
That's nuts. I just can't even fathom that. So if you guys are just listening, you guys have, and you're just jumping on to this podcast, make sure you go back like a year ago when we first started so you can see when we first started. We've come a long ways, I feel.
We have. And we're going to have a celebratory episode coming up here in the near future. And we're going to recap some of our top subjects that we discussed, and that's pretty exciting. So, yeah,
you're gonna have a party with us.
So, party
today, we're gonna be talking about what happens when a cleaning tech, your cleaning tech or employee, takes your clients. And we're gonna talk about that dreaded moment when you hire that cleaning tech and they go out and they just grab your clients. Have you had that happen before, Shannon? I'm sure you have.
Let's preface this. This topic is specifically for W-2s. You can't do anything for your 1099s because they're not employees. So I'm not going to go on my soapbox here, but there's a gray area. So there's a lot of people, and I don't want to go too deep into this, who will treat their 1099s like W-2s and make them sign a non-compete, which is illegal because then you're treating them like employees. And if you're ever audited, it's a big no-no. So, yes, I have had this happen. There is the infamous time where my lead employee of 5 years decided that she was going to make a grab for the majority of my weekly clients. And unbeknownst to me, it took me a while to realize what was going on. I entirely trusted this individual. The only thing that she did not have was the combo to the safe. And thankfully, I never did give it to her because she probably would have taken the cash in there too. But she took a lot of business from me and how she did it. And I won't go too deep into the story because you guys have all heard me talk about it. Is she convinced people that she was the victim and I was this evil, wicked witch of the West. And I did all these awful things. And it was a client who had a lot of bronzes and art pieces in their house. And they called me up one day and said, "Hey, we need to talk to you." And I was like, my heart stopped. I'm like, did we break a bronze? What happened? You just need to come over and we need to talk to you. I was like, and all you can think of is all of the curse words that you can ever imagine are in your head. You're trying to be calm. You're like trying to be professional. And you're like, okay. Because then you want to resolve the issue, right? So you want to go right away to fix whatever it is.
Your heart's like beating out of your chest and
right.
You feel like you're all sweating. And
we did meet the following afternoon and I went over there and they served me a glass of wine, which was an unusual behavior. So I was like, oh my God, they must have broke something really bad. That's what they proceeded to tell me, that my top employee was making a grab and was saying really awful things for me. They were the only ones out of, I believe it was 82 clients she walked off with.
That is a lot.
Time to tell me that, hey, this is what's up. And the worst part, and you guys have all heard me mention this too, is my very own cousin who I was forced to hire helped her do this to me, which has made me banned. And my cousins and my aunties and my uncles still live here in town. And I am not allowed to participate in any holiday or family gathering because of this whole situation. But that's a very short and sweet version. So that's what that happens. And from that experience, I have learned that you need to put systems in place to make your life much more pleasant and not as stressful as it was for me, because I still had $20,000 a week payrolls at that time. So I had to, it wasn't fair for me to go, by the way, I don't have any cash to pay you guys. You have to wait until I figure this out. I had to go to my husband and go down to the safe. I'm like, I have to take money out of the safe. And they're like, what? I mean, he was like, what? And I go, and I had to explain. And there was silence on the other side of that because it wasn't fair that the vendors and the employees and everybody else not get paid. It wasn't their fault. It was ultimately mine. I believed and trusted this individual. So that's the short version of what went down. What about you, Kim?
I've had it happen to me twice, and it was when I first started. The first time was when I very, very first started. The same situation. They started bad mouthing me in front of all the clients, and it was like they came to me, and then the next thing I know, they're starting their own cleaning company, mm-hmm. and I see them, you know, marketing and advertising it, and none of my clients at that time said anything. So I lost, like you, I lost a lot of clients. And then, so during that time, I had like put the systems in place. And then I had one other person do that, which is sad because I'm like, I'm a nice person. Mm-hmm. I'm a nice person. I love to give and I love to help people. So it was like, it kind of like broke my heart that somebody that, you know, I invested in and trusted would do that. And then that's the second time, this is when the my client reached out to me. One of my clients reached out to me and told me right away what was going on.
Right. And thank God for those individuals because, yeah. you know, you just think that everything's fine and they don't think everything's fine. And then they justify it.
I call those my diamond clients because right. they're rare.
They are rare. And there are certain telltale signs. And please learn from our experiences that indicate that something is wrong. So that your company culture should be that, you know, you're not, you know, obviously this would make sense, but we don't have a lot of common sense as a society that you just wouldn't badmouth your boss. I mean, it's not okay. I know you see it a lot on TikTok and I hate my job, but I'm not going to quit. They're going to have to fire me. And then they make this big production out of, you know, not quitting. I'm like, if you don't like your job, life is too short. It's like, move along. Don't make everyone else miserable. So learn that. I mean, when I had them come and tell me that, you know, something was wrong, like I said, I believed it to be a damage claim that they were going to have to file. And it didn't sit well. I didn't sleep very well. It was very upsetting for me, even though I smiled on my face. but it happened. And how we ended up catching her, this is a telltale sign too, is this is when I had company cars. And you guys have all heard the story. Where she was driving my company car to service her own clients. And she was using the laundry in my office because she was too lazy and too cheap to go to a laundromat. And my husband was the one who noticed it because every time someone came or exited, the iPad would alert him of like movement inside the office. But she was always doing laundry. I'm like, what's going on? This is when we did, you know, I didn't make them do their laundry at this point. We were still doing laundry on site at my office. And it was just an interesting dynamic. So look for the telltale signs. Make sure your company culture is with you. And mm-hmm. it's not a winner take all. I know that our society kind of pushes along with every man for themselves. And we won't discuss all of the defects of our society. But there is a certain dynamic. And ultimately, with this individual who shall not be named, like Harry Potter, right? So-and-so shall not be named. She just got great. She didn't hold on to the like 82 clients or whatever it was for very long. They ended up dropping off the schedule because she didn't know how to run, guess what? The back end of her business.
All the hard work that we have to do the back end that they don't see. And it's like, I always say check in with your employees. That's huge because if you don't check in with them regularly, you need to just make sure that they're happy. Talk to them, ask them questions, you know, like, hey, how's it going? Really just build that relationship and check in with them, because if you don't, you're not going to see different signs. Like, you right. know that something's off with them. You'll be like, something's off with them. What's going on? And then you could start seeing these little signs, like Shannon was saying.
Yeah, you can see the signs. And there's also a preventative measure that you can institute in your business to protect your investment. Your number one investment is your cleaning tech. They're the number one income producer for your business, not your office staff, not your office manager. It is your cleaning techs. Mm-hmm. And your second source of income are your clients. So you have to have a stop sign on both sides. It says you are not allowed to do this. And if you do, there's going to be a consequence. And part of what that is you have to have an agreement in place. Kim, did you have an agreement in place?
Not when I first started.
Nope. I didn't have one either.
Yep. I think that's the biggest mistake. I think when you guys start your cleaning company, you have to get that agreement in place like right away. And I like the fact that, you know, Shannon offers that that you have that. It's like ready to go, and it's worth it, you guys. Because when you have that agreement put in place, it sets those boundaries up between both sides.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Coaching Conversation 2024. This podcast is 100% dedicated to leadership and leadership within the workplace coaching area. We work with companies throughout the world teaching leaders how to coach their employees. This podcast is dedicated to teaching specific strategies, frameworks, coaching models, and now artificial intelligence strategies to help leaders drive greater teamwork, collaboration, cooperation, greater attitudes, better motivation, coaching career development, just to name a few. I hope you'll check out our podcast.
It does. And it makes people think twice. Now, there is, when you have your agreement in place, you obviously have to have a employment contract.
Yep.
And they have to sign it and they have to understand what they're signing. So there are several points when I had W-2s that they had to initial certain mm-hmm. sentences. Like when you buy a car, right? Check here, sign your initials here. And like then you sign at the bottom with the date, right? Yep. And then when you take on your client, it also mentions in a polite manner that, hey, we spend a lot of money investing in these employees for training. It's expensive to run a business, as we all know.
Checks and
there'll be a purging charge, basically. I don't remember how I have it worded in my contract. I'd actually have to look at it. But it basically... Okay. It says, hey, if you take my cleaning tech from me, or if my cleaning tech tries to take you from me, there's going to be a consequence. So there's a consequence on both sides of the spectrum so that you're stopping. Right. You're trying to prevent the action that they might be to take. And there is a point in time, and we all have this happen, whether you're in business for yourself, whether you're working for someone else. When I first got into this industry, I worked for Mary Maids. I'm not shy about it. I've said it over and over and over again. I worked right after Barbara. I worked for Jean and Bruce. And I don't remember the new owner. I can't remember what her name is. She's down in Scottsdale. And I believe it might have been sold since then as well. But when I left to go start my own cleaning gig, I didn't take any of the clients. I would like to believe I have a lot of integrity. That could be up to judgment. That'll be God. That's up to God to judge later. But there is a point where you have to decide whether you're going to be, you know, the single entity who has integrity above all, because we are a trust-based industry, or you're going to be the non-integrity individual who grabs. And if you're doing it there, what else are you taking, right? Because you could be a shoplifter. You could be all of these things that are not morally correct.
Stealing agreements. You know, stealing different, you know, advice of, you know, you worked with a coach and you take their information, you turn around and sell it.
We see that a lot in my industry.
Stealing graphics, you know, like if you design something and you put something together and somebody steals it, it starts a pattern. So start right off.
And so I guess what I'm getting down to is there's two types of people. There's the people who want to operate with trust and integrity because we're a trust-based industry. And then there's the other people who are just here for the quickie cash. And that's fine too. I get it. But there's no integrity with the quickie cash. They're not building something great that they can sell or leave to their family. And you have to decide what kind of individual you are. I'm not going to sit here and pass judgment or say you're wrong and I'm right and any other stuff. I'm just making awareness that there is a gray area in our industry. And it happens in a lot of industries, especially service-based, where the individual thinks they know better than, you know, than their senior. Right. What is it? There's actually a tale. I think it's a folklore. I'm having a brain fart in the Japanese culture. And it's about the teacher, you know, the teacher moves on and the student becomes a teacher. But there's a dynamic that has to happen before the student becomes the teacher. There isn't, I'm going to do this and I'm going to take all your stuff and then I'm going to run with it. That's not how typically, you know, there's bows and arrows and, you know, the whole thing. But, you have to decide kind of business owner you're going to be and if you're going to operate with integrity. And if you're going to operate with integrity, I believe it trickles down to your staff. So if you show them integrity, they will learn from you that integrity is important and trust is also important too. So, you know, I believe that leadership comes from the top and it goes down, and they are a direct reflection of you and your interface. I won't talk about customer service here. I've had lots of customer service. I could have a whole podcast just based on customer service experiences. It's like, it's awful right now out there. So make sure that you are operating with integrity and that you're having both your cleaning techs and your clients sign paperwork. So let's get down to the nitty gritty, right? So you said you came up with paperwork. Did you buy your paperwork? Did you create your own? How did your paperwork come into evolution?
I kind of created my own. Like, I'm like one of those people where I try to think of everything. Like, even my staff right now, they are like, how do you think of this, Kimberly? You think of like every single thing. And I'm just one of those people where I just like jot stuff down and I think of every incident that could happen, the what ifs. And then that's how I came up with my agreement. I just put stuff together and thought of every situation that could happen. And then throughout the years, I tweaked it. I'm sure you did the same, because everything happens. So you find something new that happens. So then you add that. So by the time that you're done with your agreement, it's like a novel.
It is. And my latest one was cat litter. I had someone, don't get me wrong, I love kitties. We don't have kitties because I have birds. But I'm at the point now, it is your responsibility as the homeowner to clean up the cat litter prior to the arrival of the cleaning tech. It is not the cleaning tech's responsibility to pick up the 50 million other pieces that you missed because you picked up the carpet and it dripped all over the bathroom floor, across the carpet, across the floor, across the kitchen floor, and out the front door.
That's actually in my agreement. That was in my agreement, was the whole cat litter thing. Like, right. If you have cat litter, then we need to use your vacuum, like, for that area. We will not use our vacuum to cross-contaminate to other homes, even though we sanitize in between homes. So yeah, that was in our agreement. That's a good one.
It is just recent, and it just took the one individual who thought that she was above it all and didn't understand, because she had was already paying us top dollar. So subsequently, why we just couldn't do that one extra thing. I started laughing.
Like, you know, that's not in our job description.
you just go, what? But yes. That's the latest and the greatest. And I tell people, I told this to someone yesterday. I spent some time on the phone with somebody. And like, for example, my move out cleaning, every single line item in my move out cleaning contract has been a blunder. Yes. A blunder that I have made in my business. Usually caused by, guess what? A real estate agent. So if you're a real estate agent, I love you, but I don't. It's just like, I've had some bad experiences with real estate agents. And I'm thankful for them now, because now I have a solid ironclad contract that has been to court over and over and over again. But it was painful going through the process of being
learning the hard way.
Right. So you made your own. I made my own. I actually sell it. It's in the contract bundle. And what you do with this contract bundle is you have your welcome paperwork, and you can, you know, you get it. You can copy and paste it. It's really low tech for a lot of reasons, because a lot of us are still very low tech. You just copy and paste the pieces that you like. You plop them into a document. You edit and do all your stuff. Make it yours. It's entirely legal for you to do that. I want you to do that. And then you put your name and anything else that you might want to, like, I don't have the cat litter in the contracts that I have for sale. Just make a mental note. And then, you make it yours, and you give one to your W-2. It says, you know, this is the agreement upon hiring. This is, you know, my intellectual property. This is my cleaning stuff. This is my company cars. This is what we do with keys. This is what we do with all these things, right? Mm-hmm. And then you also give a welcome package to your client. Yep. And the client sees the page. It says, we spend a lot of money, a lot, training our cleaning techs to make them professionals. If you are going to purge, and I've had people pay me because they absolutely loved whoever it was.
You're like, thank you for paying the finder's fee for me.
It's $2,500. And people go, what? And it's enough of an ouch to go, well, I signed this agreement. I've had people tell me, no, F off. I'm not signing it. And I'm like, well, they're more than likely to steal my cleaning tech because it's an investment.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to decide, but that's how you eliminate the differences. And we'll be talking a little bit more about the details of the cleaning contract and why you need to have cleaning contracts. And it's not to like, oh, line one, you missed. Oh, two, you didn't pick up. And three, you know, it's a boundary perimeter so that people don't overstep and ask you to do weird things. Like, can you clean out the Hubbles in my cabinet? No. How about my Picasso? Can you dust that? No, we won't touch the Picasso either.
I need you to clean the dead animals on the wall. And
right. The dead animals or whatever creature. We had a lady in Paulden. And I had a local cleaner out there and she sent me pictures. Her cat was a hunter and he used to bring in gifts and they were still sometimes half alive. And you know, the little baby rabbits, especially in the spring, and you feel really bad and you're like, what? Cats are cats, but I don't want to clean it up after they're done playing with it. It's your job.
Responsibility. Yeah. So like if you guys are starting out, please get this all put in place. Like immediately, we're trying to save you guys from a lot of headaches.
Right. Or if you don't want to pay the price for my contracts, I'm sure you can DIY it. I'm at the point in my I'm older. So I just want to tell me if to go from A to B. I don't want to sit there and invent the wheel. I am not a young person anymore. I don't have the extra 10, 20 hours it takes to research and ruminate and think about. I just want to go on to the next thing. I don't want to sit there and try to figure out what does she mean by a purging or a service fee or a finder's fee? What is that? Right. So just make yourself easier on yourself. You decide whether it works for you. Pinterest is the largest search engine out there. My only request is that if you do buy my product, that you don't buy it to resell it. It does say that in there.
You have that in your agreement.
So that's my only contingency. Other than I want you to copy and paste and make it your own.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's having your client sign something, and there can be some apprehension over having someone sign it, and they'll flat out tell you, "I'm not signing it." Say, okay, well, you know, if you change your mind, it's a deal breaker, right? Yeah, it's like dating somebody.
We're not going to clean for you. Like, sorry.
Like if I were,
I'll clean for you.
If I were to date somebody, I'm not married, but if I was to date somebody and you didn't like dogs, that would be a deal breaker for me because I have dogs and I'm not getting rid of them. It's just a thing, right? Birds or cats or whatever your thing is, that's a deal breaker. The dog thing is huge. It's a deal breaker. Sorry. So those are some of the things that you would have to have them sign. And some of them are going to flat out tell you no. And most are going to be like, most of the new ones are going to be okay. This is what I have to do to get your service. No problem. And then we didn't really talk about getting your legacy clients to sign paperwork, but I guess we can do that on another episode.
Yep. I think we actually have that for the next episode.
I think so. Legacy clients. I'm making a note so we can put that on the next episode. Anything else that we failed to cover? I think we got it all.
Yeah. Please reach out to us, email us, message us if we have any, feedback. Be sure to review us. We love reviews and share our podcast and cleaning group, share it on your page. We just want to be out there to help the world, don't we, Shannon?
Definitely. And we are still accepting applications for sponsorship. So if that is something that you dig and you want to advertise with us, please hit us up. We're more than willing to look you over and see if you're a good fit.
Thanks, you guys, for joining us. Have a wonderful day.
Ta-ta.
Bye. Sponsored by Pure Evergreen Cleaning Products. That's PureEvergreen.com. Pure Evergreen Cleaning Products.